to be pretty dedicated to coming here on a day that's pretty. You know, it means some people have had enough.
They're ready for a change. The day's not prettier than you.
Thank you for your correct perception. I love it when people see me correctly. That is so cool. Thank you, Chuck. I appreciate that, brother. I appreciate that. I'm just trying to locate in one more little extra battery here. I got a feeling that
No, here we go. This guy, I don't know, this thing didn't work out for
me. Yeah, it's gonna run out.
He doesn't need help, but you know, what the fuck?
There we go. Till you use it, you really want to know that what I'm talking about is true. So I'm gonna do a little short meditation.
So let's let ourselves just hear this. So glad to be here with you. I am sustained by the love of God. I am sustained by the love of my Creator. That's the answer to every problem that will confront you today, tomorrow, and throughout time. That you are sustained by the love of that which created you. In this world, you believe you are sustained by everything but God. That means your faith is placed in the most trivial and insane symbols. Our faith is usually placed not in our Creator, but in pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, and knowing the right people, which is an endless list of forms of nothingness that we endow with magical powers. We believe in an endless list of forms of nothingness that we endow with magical powers. That's what the Course says. We believe in an endless list of forms of nothingness that we endow with magical powers. And all these things are your replacements for the love of God. Pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being like, knowing the right people. These things are cherished to ensure a body identification. Putting all your faith in pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being like, knowing the right people. These are songs of praise to fear. Do not put your faith in the worthless. The worthless will not sustain you. Put your faith in the love of your Creator. It's only the love of your Creator that will protect you in every circumstance. It's the love of your Creator that will lift you out of every trial and raise you high, high above all the perceived dangers of this world. Raise me high above all the perceived dangers of this world. Raise us high above all the perceived dangers of this world. Into a climate of perfect peace and safety. Raise us up into a perfect climate of peace and safety. Raise us up into a perfect climate of perfect peace and safety. Loving of your Creator. Your Creator's love for you. Your Creator's love for you will transport you into a state of mind. It's time for us to be transported into a state of mind that nothing can disturb. Transport us into a state of mind that nothing can disturb. Transport us into a state of mind that nothing can disturb. Transport us into a state of mind that nothing can disturb. Transport me into a state of mind that nothing can disturb. Transport me into a state of mind where nothing can disturb it. Where nothing can intrude upon your eternal calm. You don't want anything to intrude upon your calm, you holy child of love, you holy child of God. Don't put your faith in illusions. Illusions will fail you. Put all of your faith in the love of God within you. It's eternal, it's changeless, it's forever unfailing. Putting all of your faith into the love of your Creator within you. Through that, it's the answer to whatever confronts you today. through the love of God, through the love of God within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and in sheer confidence. Through the love of God within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and in sheer confidence. Tell yourself this often today. Telling yourself you are sustained by the love of God is a declaration of release from your belief in idols. Telling yourself that you're sustained by the love of your Creator is your acknowledgement of the truth about yourself. So let this idea that you are sustained by the love of your Creator sink deep into your consciousness. Repeat it. I am sustained by the love of God. Think about it. I am sustained by the love of God. Let related thoughts come to help you recognize that what I just said to you is the truth. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection and surety. Don't let any idle and foolish thoughts enter to disturb your mind, you innocent, incredible, invincible child of God. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you. Having nothing disturb you, frighten you, hurt you, that's the kingdom of heaven. That's the resting place where your Creator placed you forever. I am sustained by the love of God. 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 I am sustained by the love of God.
Thank you, brother. You know, I got to be free from my false beliefs and idols. I was brought up to believe that it was pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, y'all liking me, that those were the things that were going to take care of me. If I could just impress my boss enough.
But you can impress your boss by being who you are. You know what I'm saying? Who you are.
Who you are is so cool. Nobody else like you. There's no competition. Earl Purdy is not in competition because there isn't another one. So as long as I'm myself, I don't have to worry about competition. It's competition when I try to be like somebody else. There's nobody else like you. There's nobody else like you.
There's nobody else like you. I'm sure you've had people tell you that.
There ain't nobody else like you. I'm glad too. So I'm going to continue with where I left off last week, but I need do nothing. And we left off on page 389. And you're listening for your message. And when you hear your message, bingo, that's the one you stick with. Don't worry about whatever I might say that you might not immediately get. I'm going to start with paragraph 4 on 389. It's impossible. Now, when it says holy instant, the Course in Miracles is only talking about love and fear. So if you ever see it, don't let the terminology throw you off. It's just talking about love and fear. So if you hear the word holy, what is it talking about?
Love.
Yeah, it's not that difficult. So it's impossible to accept the loving instant without reservation unless just for an instant you're willing to see no past and future. You can't prepare for your happiness without placing it in the future. So release from unhappiness will be given you the instant that you desire it, not the instant you plan for it. Everything that you're planning for, you could achieve through desire. Faster. A lot of times people plan for things that they have no desire for. They have no passion. Their heart isn't in it. You ask them what they want, they have no excitement. But they're actually planning for something that they have no excitement about receiving. So the Course says you can have peace. Peace. You can have peace in an instant. It might take longer to get that car. But you can have peace in an instant. So he says, but in order to have it, you got to stop preparing for it for just an instant, right? And then you'll have it the instant you desire it. It says, I love this. Now, this is one of my favorite paragraphs in this entire book. Check this out. It says, many have spent a lifetime in preparation. Many have indeed achieved their instance of success. Many have spent a lifetime preparing. Many have had instances of success. This course doesn't attempt to teach more than they learned in time. I'm not trying to teach you any more than the people that had instances of success or more than the people who have a lifetime of preparation. What the course is trying to do is to save us time.
Yeah.
The purpose of the Course in Miracles is for people who want to save time. You can do a lifetime of preparation, and you can have instances of success, but the course is for people who want to save time. Is there anybody in here that wants to save time?
Uh-huh.
Okay, let me see your hands, because I'm going to be teaching you. Okay, you're going to be the special ones for this hour. Okay, because I'm most interested in talking to people that want what I have to offer than people that's not. You know, it's deep. Isn't that saying? I always show more appreciation for the people that show an appreciation for me than to spend all my time trying to get the people that don't appreciate me to appreciate me.
Yeah.
It saves time. So if you're in a relationship with me, I just want to save you some time. Okay? So let's remember the main points. First of all, the Course says that we can have the first belief that we need to accept if we want to manifest peace is to accept that we can have it now. The next thing that he said that we should think about is whether or not we want to save time. The other thing that it tells us to think about is to not so much focus on planning for it in the future as desiring it right now. Okay, that you can apply it to anything that's going on in your life, not just your spiritual awakening. This course doesn't attempt to teach more than the people who've been preparing for a lifetime or the people who have instances of success. This course is just trying to save time. Okay? Now, this sounds like most people. You may be attempting to follow a very long road to the goal you have accepted. You know, I've been trying to follow this road for a long time to get to my peace. I've been trying for years and years to get to my prosperity. I may have been attempting a very long road to get to my goal. And he says, I love this too. He says, it's extremely difficult to reach innocence, which is atonement. It's extremely difficult to reach the undoing of fear and guilt, which is atonement, by fighting against sin, by fighting against guilt. So it's difficult to get where you're kind of going if you're spending all your time fighting against sin, fighting against guilt, fighting against anger, fighting against depression. It's hard to get where you're going if you're spending all your time fighting against. Did you hear that term? Fighting against. Okay, I want to hear what you're telling me, Spirit. Talk to me. It says, enormous effort is expended in the attempt to make holy what is hated and despised. In other words, the course is saying, we putting forth a lot of effort to like what we hate and despise. We said, people working all day. I hate my husband, but I'm trying to love him. I hate my mama, but I'm trying to love him. I hate my job, but I'm trying to love it. I hate my body, but I'm trying. He says, and that's what the book says. It's right there on the page. Enormous effort is expended in the attempt to make holy, to make lovable what you hate and despise. It's not hard for me to love somebody that I love. It's just hard for me to love somebody that I don't. So I'm not going to spend all my time trying to love people. I'm through trying to love. I'm not trying to love none of y'all. I'm trying to get very clear about that. I don't try to love people. Love isn't something you do. Love is something you are. You can't make love. You can make fear. That's what we ought to say. Baby, let's get together tonight and make some fear. You know what I'm saying? Crazy as we act after some sex happened, we ought to be saying, let's make fear.
Good at it.
And some of us practice as much as we can. Some of us upset because we never get a chance to. So I'd like to ask you, I would like to ask you to stop trying to love people. Testing 1, 2. Stop trying to love people. Stop trying to love people. Just ask to have the blocks removed to your awareness of the love that you already are. It's like as soon as I open the blinds, the light shines through. I don't have to make the light shine through. I just have to open the blinds. So getting rid of your false beliefs and ideas is like opening the blinds to let the light and the love and the abundance and the prosperity in your life come through. Stop trying to love people. You already are love. You just need to get the stuff out of the way that keeps the love from coming through you that would create incredible loving people and experiences for you. You know, I'm meeting such loving beings that I just have to breathe. You know, happened again last night. People I didn't even know 24 hours ago, just a whole gang of them. Just loving me. Oh, Lord have mercy. Nothing like motivation. It's hard to keep doing something that you don't see the results of. But sometimes it's hard to recognize that you're not seeing the results because you're not doing it. I used to want to get the results without doing it. So I want to ask you to stop trying to spend enormous effort trying to make holy what you hate and what you despise. Also, I'm going to tell you that a lifetime of contemplation is not necessary. Long periods of meditation aimed at detachment from the body. It's not necessary to do long periods of meditation aimed to detach yourself from the body. It's not necessary for you to do long periods of meditation trying to detach yourself from the body. It's not necessary for you to have a lifetime of contemplation in order to have peace and healing and love and peace and abundance. But I will tell you that all such attempts will ultimately succeed. They will succeed because that's their purpose. You're doing it so that you can succeed in finding peace. So since your goal was to succeed in having peace and you believe that you could succeed in having peace, that's what guaranteed the goal, not the long periods of meditation, not the detachment from the body. But that's what you thought of that was necessary for you to have peace. So that was your own curriculum that you set up. So it will work. So don't think I'm knocking meditation or contemplation. Those who want to do long periods of meditation aimed at detachment to the body, from the body, great. I do long periods of meditation aimed at the attachment to the body. The means are tedious and very time-consuming. It's very tedious and time-consuming trying to like people you don't like and things you don't like, thinking you got to meditate for long periods of time, trying to detach yourself from everything you know you want, but you think you shouldn't if you want to be spiritual. He says, this is tedious. This is time-consuming. Yeah. Is that right there on the page? Anybody with me?
Right there.
Okay. He says, why? He says, what makes it tedious and time-consuming is that all of them look to the future for a release from a present state of unworthiness and inadequacy. I'm planning in the future to be released from what I feel right now. I'm planning to be released in the future from what I feel right now. I need to be released from what I feel right now, right now. I don't need to be released from what I feel next week. I don't need to be released from my lack next week. I don't need to be released from my loneliness next week. I don't need to be released from my anger. So every time I plan for it to be released in the future, that keeps me from having it now. Now, all of the planners, you must plan in order not to go crazy. So I'm not asking the planners not to plan. I wouldn't want to see you explode all over this room. You know what I'm saying? But why don't you carry out a plan instead of carrying out a plan you made up? Why don't you learn how to get in touch with your higher self so that your higher self can give you the divine plan for your life that results in total peace and harmony? It will look like to the people looking at you that you're still planning because you're still carrying out a plan. But you're no longer carrying out a plan. You're just doing what you're told by the part of you that wants you to succeed for a change instead of doing what you were told by the part of you that's afraid and doubts. See, that's just you, the part of us that makes the plan, because it's the part of us that doesn't believe that God's going to take care of it, so it has to take care of itself. You know, it's just a lack of faith.
Yeah. And trust.
And trust. There's nothing that's going on in any of our lives that trust would not take care of right now. Trust could handle every problem you think you have right now. It could be handled by trust. So I have to develop it, you know. So I need to get some new rules. What's new rule number one? I just have to stop just for a second thinking about what's going to happen to me tomorrow. And just stop for just a second thinking about what happened to me in the past. Just for a second. Then the next thing I need to do is understand it's not so much about planning it as it is about wholly desiring it. So I'm going to stop asking for stuff I don't really want to happen. I'm going to stop asking for things I have no enthusiasm and no joy about. So if I say I want something and I don't feel an inner flame, I need to just drop that right there. I'm just saying a program. I'm just saying something I was programmed to say. Because when you say things you were programmed to say, your heart isn't in it. And your heart is not the pump that sends blood through your body. So when I say heart, I'm talking about the very center of your being. The center of your being is your heart. And so true power comes from acting from the center of your being and not from what society has told you you should be doing based on what they believe you need to take care of their fantasy. I need you to buy my product so I can go to Hawaii. Earl Purdy, www.earlpurdy.com. I got tons of classes, you know. Okay, so I'm going to cut this down so I can get progressively louder. The next rule is to understand that it's okay to meditate. It's okay to do a lot of contemplation. It's okay to spend all your time trying to like stuff you don't like. It will work. It will work because you want it to work. But it's not necessary for you to have total fulfillment today. You don't have to believe the ideas. You don't have to accept the ideas, right? Got you going there? Okay. And it says, all such attempts will ultimately succeed because of their purpose. The means are tedious and very time-consuming, for all of them look to the future for what? Release from a present state of unworthiness and inadequacy. The Course says, read me very slowly. I know we could read faster, but that's not the point. One sentence that we remembered could take us into all truth and all healing. So, he says, now, he says, I'm going to tell you something. Your way will be different. Not in the purpose. Your purpose is you want peace and happiness and prosperity and abundance, right?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay. So the Course says what's different is not the purpose. We still got the purpose that everybody else has in terms of wanting to be happy and peaceful. He says what makes us different is the way that we're going to go about it. What makes us different is the way we're going to go about it. I want the same thing that the person that meditates wants, and I'm going to get what they want, but I'm going to go about it differently. Okay? Now, so we're going to have a holy relationship with each other. Because this is going to be the way we're going to do it. We're going to have a loving, innocent relationship. That's what the Course calls a holy relationship. Now, I'm going to give you a new definition for a holy relationship. A holy relationship is a relationship that's a means of saving time. So anytime you're in a relationship with anybody and you get speeded along even more towards your peace and joy and happiness with them than you were doing alone, you're in a holy relationship. If you're in a relationship that you were more happy, more peaceful before you hooked up with that joker, you're in an unholy relationship. Okay, so an unholy relationship is just a relationship that you, most of the time, you're not satisfied, you're complaining about it, you're judging about it, you're not letting yourself. So you're in an unholy relationship. If you're in a holy relationship, you go, man, I really feel good, but with you, I'm feeling twice as good. Wow, thank you. They say, yeah, thank you. We're saving each other time. I want to remind you that you're innocent and not guilty, and that you deserve to be happy, and that I'm going to support you in who you are. You know, and if I can help you in any kind of way, I'm willing to help you. Oh, you. We must get rid of all records that we were thinking sanely for an hour. You know what I'm saying? You will not record this. You know, that's cool, but you'll remember what you need to. And the rest of it, your body is recording it. Because your body is recording every single thing. Your body consciousness is recording every single thing you've thought, felt, or done since the day you were born. That's why even though I cut my knee pretty bad when I was a kid, and the scientists say your cells are completely replaced every 7 years, that scar is still there. You know why? Because just before this set of cells dies and make their transition, they tell the new set of lies. Hey, he cut his leg. So they pass it on the past to each other. So if you really want to heal, you got to keep your body in the now. Because if all your cells replace themselves every 7 years, then the most you are is 7 years old. How bad would you look like it? It's because of the memories you're bringing with you, and you're putting them in the new cells that are showing up until you die. Because the cells just can't take that crap for so long. You know, the cells just go, I'm tired. I'm out of here. I hear one more time about what happened to him in the fifth grade. So people die because their cells commit suicide. Isn't that a great motivation to get out? You know, that's true. That's a scientific fact. Your cells aren't 7 years. 7 years, you're completely replaced. Why do you look older? It's what you're telling your cells. I'm 5,000,052. Look at me.
I've been working on that.
The truth is, you've been around forever, but you screwed up so much you just gone blank on it and you don't want to remember it no more. So therefore you just remember this life. It's enough to be trying to make up for what you think you did in this life without searching all the rest of your past lives and then trying to make up for what you did in 5,000 B.C. You know, you need to just forgive what happened last week. Okay. You know what I'm saying? That you really want to feel guilty. You want to pull all your past lives into your guilt. You know, you really want to feel guilty. You know, I got to remember what I did when I was the king of Siam. You know what I'm saying? And add that to what's going on. You know. And then I'm dealing with right now what it was when I was the Grand Kleagle of the Ku Klux Klan. I'm having this is what happened to me. Look at what happened to me. Look at my karma. I hate black people. I hate men. So we know who hate women, right? And we know who hate men. Uh-huh. Deep. That's deep. That's deep. Could it be that simple? Complexity is just a smoke screen that hides how simple everything is. So, your way will be different, not in what purpose, but in what
means.
And so that means we're going to have relationships that do what? Save us time. So that means one instant spent together with your brother or sister. Brother doesn't mean physical man in the Course. Brother means a mind that is joined with mind. Mm-hmm. Course in Miracles has its own definition for terms. So when it says brother, it's not talking about a man. It's talking about a mind that's joined with mind. So the Course says one instant together which restores the universe to both of us. Think about it. We've had 1 hour together and it's been restoring the truth, which is the universe, to all of us. Just one instant together. What does that mean? One instant without thinking about the past or future. One instant of desire as opposed to planning. One instant of really and truly wanting to save time with each other. He says that'll restore the universe to both of you. And this is the good news. He says you are prepared.
Yeah.
He didn't say you will be prepared and you have to do a little bit more to be prepared and you needed another workshop to be prepared or you need to understand everything to be prepared. It said you are prepared. Right now. You are prepared. Right now. Isn't that a great thought? Mm-hmm. Even if you don't think you are prepared. Mm-hmm. Okay? So those of you who wouldn't mind saying that with me one time, would you say, I am prepared. Because when we get our body involved, it allows us to remember stuff better. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to write that down. And when you get your body involved, you write that. Okay. Do you think I'll forget that soon? Do you think you'll be able? The truth works instantly. You don't have to wait for the truth. If it's the truth, you can always have it now. Anything I have to wait for, then I know it's an illusion. If you're going to love me, you're going to love me now. I don't need no future love. I don't need no future love, and I don't need no future happiness. I don't want either one of them. Future happiness is for somebody that wants to be punished until they receive what they want. And those who want to defend planning and defend the future, then just plan for the future and do it. We don't have to get into a deep discussion about it or a debate about it. You can do it. I'm not saying you can't follow your path. If you want to, if you think that it's all about you doing everything on your own and planning everything on your own, be my guest. But this is a different way. It's the same purpose, but this is a different way. We're going to go the way of relationships that save us time. And the Course says, you are prepared. Now here's the key. Now you need but to remember, you need do nothing.
Yeah.
Now let me get clear about what that statement. It doesn't mean you sit on your butt and do nothing.
I'm going to be very clear about that, because that's the way people try to take that statement, I need do nothing. They try to take it as, I just, you know, take your house. Your car will be repossessed. Okay? I've been doing this 27 years. I know some people who tried. I need do nothing. And I'm giving you the heads up on that. Okay? First of all, it would be too scary for you to do nothing. So the whole experience would be an experience of total fear, which would create negative circumstances. Because you're probably not on a level of consciousness if you're a big doer and figure outer that you could actually do nothing, literally, without tripping out. And you know everything comes out of your consciousness, and if your consciousness is full of fear, then how are you going to give yourself a pleasant experience of doing nothing? So don't fool yourself. The Course has the one right use of feelings. Judgment, do you want to use judgment? Then let your feelings be what you use to judge by, because your feelings are letting you know, your feelings are letting you know what you're going to do to you. Say it again.
Yes.
Your feelings are letting you know what you're about to do to yourself, because your feelings are your judgments. So if you don't feel good about doing something, there's a high likelihood you're going to create a negative, what you would call a negative outcome for yourself. Even if I am trustworthy, if you don't feel like I am, then you need to honor your feelings and behave accordingly. Because even if I was trustworthy, you're going to project something on me that's going to make it seem like I'm not. You're going to figure out a way to be right about your judgment, so you just will deal with it like it is. But it doesn't mean that your feelings are a reflection of the truth. It just means your feelings are a reflection of what you believe with emotionally charged meaning.
Can you change your feelings?
Yeah, you change your feelings by changing your interpretation of what's going on. As soon as you change your interpretation, your feelings will change. I use the analogy often where if I step on your foot and you thought I did it on purpose, you would probably go to a place of anger. But if I said to you, oh, it was an accident, you immediately drop your anger. You don't go to a therapist for 2 weeks to drop your anger. Do you?
No.
But as soon as you get a new interpretation, what was the new interpretation? Oh, it was an accident. So as soon as you change your interpretation, your emotions change. And that is true in every emotional situation. It's just that some situations we have so much investment in, it takes 2 weeks or 3 years or 10 years of therapy before we change our interpretation. But that has to do with our investment, not that couldn't be done in an instant. Because if you can do it in an instant in one situation, you can do it in an instant in another situation. That's what doing it in an instant proved to you. Then the person said, well, that wasn't so serious. That was just, you know, just an accident. That's more different than if, you know, I lost my brother in a car wreck. No, you probably have, your brother's more special. And anything that's more special always has the potential to give you more pain or pleasure. How long it takes you is just a degree of specialness involved. Somebody that hates their brother, they'd be like,
My brother dead.
See, so you don't just automatically grieve somebody that dies because they died. What makes you grieve is the way you interpreted them in your life. It's everything in your life is just your interpretation. Your life is nothing but an interpretation at the level of perception. At this level, it's just all interpretation. Some people interpret me that they feel total trust, total safety, total peace as soon as they see me, and then they deal with me that way. Some people interpret me as, I don't know where you're coming from, I need to be suspicious and I need to doubt, and they deal with me that way. What keeps me conscious is knowing I'm not either one of that, those things. See, what keeps me at peace is knowing I'm independent of your interpretation of me, so frankly, I don't care what you think about me. The only thing that matters is what I think about me, because I'm the one that's determining how I feel, and I don't have to let how you think about me affect me unless you're special to me. If you're special to me, I'm giving my power to you to affect my feelings.
Wow.
So I don't make people special who don't want to experience real love. You know, you don't have to be perfect, but you have to sure have a purpose that's in line with mine, which is peace. But if you get with somebody and I don't have the slightest idea what I'm getting with them for, what the purpose of it is, that sets up a situation where things just seem to happen to me unexpectedly that I don't know about. In other words, I live the life of the average person. And I don't want to live the life of the average person. A person that's walking around defending themselves against unknown things that might happen in the future, trying to avoid catastrophic outcomes all the time, hoping that they can make up fantasies and dreams that might work, maybe. That doesn't sound like fun to me. But I do believe that it would be great to be in a situation that I'm prepared. I think it would be great to be in a situation that saves me time. I think it would be great to be in a situation where it's not necessary to spend long time periods of contemplation and meditation and trying to detach myself from every physical thing around me. I think it would be cool to be on a path and I'm not constantly worried about the past or the future, and I have support and I have guidance and I know who I am. And I'm surrounded by people who also want peace and love, too. Now, that sounds like an easier life. Now, it used to sound impossible to me, but it's not impossible because I'm living it. So, therefore, I'm having the experience of it. If I have the experience of it, I'm going to have the belief in it. Because beliefs come from experience, not the other way around. You don't believe it and then experience it. You experience it and then you believe it. It works that way. That's why we're so convinced about what's happened to us and how real it is. Because it's what we experience. You know, you experience that childhood. You experience that mother. You experience that father. So when somebody says something about letting that go, releasing it, you go, ooh, that's hard to do. Why? Because you believe in it. The other stuff I'm talking about sounds like theoretical. Loving everybody, theoretical. You know, my father beat my butt. That was my experience. Somebody betraying me. That seemed like that was my experience. So it's hard for me to, it's easy for me to not trust and to trust because my experience is of not trusting. But I didn't realize that it originated in my own belief in guilt and sin and unworthiness. It didn't make any difference that I was a child. Birth is not a beginning. Birth is a continuing. Just because you got a baby body don't mean your soul is that new. How could it happen to a little baby? You're thinking about the body. That little baby been around for an eternity. And you don't know what that little baby did. Some parents experience a very incredibly, can be a challenging experience that people call crib death. Where it looks like the baby just, and what happened was the baby just got here and went, hell no. Or the baby came because there was a lesson that they all wanted to learn together that had to do with that baby making an early exit for those two parents to develop certain qualities within their consciousness and their spirit and their soul. Because the baby never really died because we never really do die. So you never really lose anybody that even looks like they died. It just means you can't see them. But because you don't see them doesn't mean they don't exist. And in the physical world, we believe that what we can't see in our physical, with our physical eyes, do not exist. And that's the Course's definition of blind. The Course says a soul is blind who only sees physical form. Because whoever just sees physical form is always just seeing the outside of everything and never the inside. You look at me, you see the outside of me. You don't see, so your physical eyes will never show you anything real. They just show you the outside of everything. So then we try to make the outside appealing because we know that in our society, for the average person, it goes something like this.
If you look good, you are good. That's our rule in the form world. If you look good, I just saw Tyra Banks just the other day. And she had a chick who was like a bombshell, right? And she had a, like, she dressed her way, way, way down and put out on the streets. And then ask her to ask people to help her. You know, she'd drop stuff and even the men would pick it up, or she'd ask for a quarter. It's like, nobody, everybody's walking all over, you know, she'd drop her stuff to me and skip over the bag. You know what I'm saying? Nobody paid any attention to her. She came back with the bombshell. Not only did she ask the guy for a quarter, he didn't have it right there, but he went somewhere, got the quarter, and came back. Everybody was helping her with her bag. Women, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, why? Because she looked good. She could have been a serial killer. But just since she looked good, she was trustworthy. See, this world is full of blind people. And I'm looking for people who can see. Because I won't always look this luscious, because I got some baggage I get my sales. So I probably age. You know, so if I was into somebody that only wanted to love me, if I look like this, I'm blind and I'm stupid. And that's why if you do think you look the way that you think you ought to look, that's really appealing to the masses, that's beautiful, because that means you can attract people to you that you can give the message of truth to easier. But enjoy it. Enjoy wherever you are right now. Enjoy where you are right now. Don't deny your body. Use your body for joining. Use your body for communication. Use your body for loving. Don't spend no time trying to detach yourself from the body. Yeah. You want to meditate on how you can use your body sinlessly, guiltlessly, innocently. How you can do it in a way that's about joy and peace. Because your body is the storehouse of your memories, and all of your memories are stored in your body. It's your radar. It's the way you can know what's going on in this plane. Is your body. It's your physical senses. That's your body. You're inside your physical senses. But this is the way it works. For real. See, we think it's like this. We think our mind is in our body. This is what the average person thinks. You think you're inside of there, looking out. Is that the way it looks to you? Like you're sitting in here, looking out. It's really like this. Or better yet, make it even simpler. Your body is in your mind. And everything you think affects your body. This is what your mind is doing. Everything you're thinking, all your thoughts, all your feelings, all your emotions are being directed towards your body. So your body's condition is based on what thoughts you are having about the body that's inside your mind. Now, what's inside your body, see, it's still there, right? That's your ego. So what's looking at me through the physical eyes is your ego. So it's really your ego. And see, in your ego, what you think you are is looking out, right? Uh-huh. Your ego is looking out. Okay, and what is it seeing? Your mind. You understand what I'm saying? You're looking out at your mind from your ego. How do I know it's your ego? It's real easy to show you what I mean by your ego. You think you're looking at other bodies in the room that look different from you. You could only see bodies in the room that look different from you if you were looking through, you had to be looking through the part of your mind that believes in separation to see separation. So if you see separation, you're looking through the part of your mind to see separation. But this part of your mind is looking out and seeing the content of itself. So when your world is a reflection of your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, physically projected out for you to see, and that's why you can have anything your heart desires. But if you believe that you have to contemplate and you have to struggle and you have to make it happen, right, then you will create struggle in your mind.
Yeah.
And then you'll see it all around you in your world, and you'll get a chance to be right. And so what the Course in Miracles is doing is
making you aware that you are more than your body. And that if the one thought that you want to have in your mind that will clear all of this up is the thought of your innocence. Your innocence, the idea of your innocence, will transform and erase all the stuff that causes the struggle in your mind. You know why? Because even at this level, we don't believe the innocent man deserves to struggle and to be punished and to be hurt. Even on this insane plane that we live on, people get upset when they think an innocent person got harmed. We immediately go, innocent, no harm. Innocent, no harm. But you walking around believing in sin? And then you're wondering why you're experiencing pain and suffering? Or you walk around and you believe that you're guilty, and you walk around and believe that you're not enough, and you walk around and you believe that you're not okay. That thought of guilt, that thought of unworthiness, that thought of not being okay in your mind, in your ego mind, and what you're telling yourself, it produces the struggle that you're going through right now in your perception.
Yes.
So all you have to do to get rid of the pain and suffering in your life is to change your mind. Okay? Okay. There's an easier level than that. And the easier level than that is you can let that which created you change your mind for you. When I was a kid and I couldn't read something, I could ask my mother to reach up and give it to me, and I got it just as fast. Matter of fact, I got it faster than if I tried to climb up on the cabinet. So yeah, I could have got it on my own, but why not have it handed to me? But you know what the condition was to get my mother to hand it to me? I had to ask for it, and I had to obey the rules of receiving it.
Yeah.
It's like when you give your dog a biscuit and you say, sit. Like, if I give you the biscuit, you can't get the biscuit. You can't even get up in the cabinet and get the biscuit. I got the biscuit. And so you said, dog, and then you said, dog, sit. You know. And people got to feel that way about your biscuit. You want to be around those people that what you are is the same way. You know. You know, and they're willing to obey the rules to have it, which is, and you go stuff like, well, it's called respect, it's called recognition, it's called, you know, consciousness, it's called joining, it's called wanting to grow, it's called wanting to have fun, it's called wanting to see each other as innocent. Those are my rules to getting this biscuit from me. You see what I'm saying? You know, it's like that's what we got to do now. We have to understand we can have it faster, but you only get it faster when you realize you are prepared.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to stop. But just the next two paragraphs are just off the hook. They're off the hook. You know. But I'm gonna finish this paragraph. Okay, if somebody have to leave, that's okay. You just have to go. Okay. Now you need but to remember you need do nothing. It would be far more profitable now merely to concentrate on I need do nothing than to consider what I should do. Rather than consider what I should be doing, what do I mean by I need do nothing? I'm gonna tell you what that means real quick, and then we'll get much more detail about it next week, because I'm going to go through this whole section. It says, when peace comes at last to those who wrestle with temptation and fight against the giving in to sin. So when peace comes at last to those who wrestle with temptation and fight against the giving in to sin, when peace comes at last, when the light comes at last into the mind given to contemplation, or when the goal is finally achieved by anyone, it always comes with just one happy realization. God thought it? I need to do nothing. I walked into that experience last night with an innocent mind. So what I saw was my innocent mind. What I met last night was my innocent mind. Now, all of my mind, I don't think it's innocent. So I got a little gift here, and I got a little gift here. Oh, prom night's definitely here. Well, prom night is here too. So, but it also got some innocent thoughts, right? So what does that mean? That means sometimes I'm going to see situations that seem to cause me pain, that's coming from my own feelings of guilt and fear, and then sometimes I'm going to see experiences that come from my innocence, and that I call that, boy, that's a good, loving, beautiful, loving day I just had. And all I'm doing is triggering my own thoughts and my own consciousness, and the more guilt thoughts I have, the more I say I had bad days and good days. The more innocence I recognize I have, I start to gradually see what I see as loving situations, circumstances, abundance, and prosperity showing up more and more, and then every now and then I get my butt kicked. It'd be like good periods, and then walked up on one of my deals. So what did I do to get rid of that? I forgive it. How do I forgive it? By saying, oh, that's one of Earl's calls for love. That's one of Earl's reminders that he needs to start seeing himself as innocent. And then I transform it. I start seeing my guilt as a call to remember my innocence. So every time I feel guilty, I go, oh, this is why I need to recognize that I'm innocent now. That I can have it in the present. Oh, this is why I need to remember that peace could be what I'm going through instead of this anger. I don't deny it. I feel depressed. Oh, this is a reminder. I can have what I want. And I don't have to be denied. And that's what my depression is. My being aware that I should have it, but I'm denying myself. Yeah. But that's transforming it. I need do nothing. So that's what I need do nothing means. It means that I need to remember the truth. I need to find a place within me where all this outer teaching that I learned from the world, I put it on the back burner and I go to my truth and I live by my truth. I need do nothing is me finding a place within me where the activities of my ego and my body are not demanding my attention for just an instant. Just an instant, let go of your way of believing about it. Is I need do nothing. Why? Because the minute that you release for one instant, that lets the sunlight come in through the shades. And it doesn't take but an instant. You open that shade, cram, the sun is there. So you creating a space just for a minute where you say in a situation you're unhappy in, I don't know what's going on. It's the space. Don't make up what's going on. Don't judge what's going on because you're going to be wrong. Because you just use the same judgments you've been using all your life. Mm-hmm. So just stop for a minute and say to yourself, I may not know all there is to know. I want an answer that's greater than what I've thought of. I'm willing to have this situation healed even if I don't know how it's going to happen. Stop letting go of your need. Stop letting go of your need to friggin' understand everything before you can receive the benefits of it.
Yeah.
It's slowing you down.
Yeah.
Especially when you don't trust, no way.
Yeah.
And you're sad and you don't believe and you think there's not enough, you're the last one that should be setting up the conditions for your manifestation.
Yeah.
All right, can we acknowledge us for hearing this black man rant?
It is black man rant. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. You got the correct
perception
of me.
You got the correct perception of me.
Woo! Mercy.
Lord have mercy. I'm glad that I got most of that though. So don't think you got away. We evidently did want it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You all are such a blessing. And I'm gonna say that over. I'm gonna say that over and over again. You are a blessing. You are a blessing. You are a blessing. You are a blessing. And now you know how to tell when somebody's lying to you. When somebody's lying to you, they're seeing you some other way.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. You're seeing me some other way. I mean, I'm not saying I don't make mistakes, and mistakes are not for correction. I'm not claiming I do everything perfectly, but it doesn't change my essential nature. I don't care how dirty I get. I can wash it off. Who I really am still underneath the dirt. I didn't turn into the dirt that I had on my body. You haven't turned into anything you've been putting in your mind either. Wash it off. Stop looking at yourself through that film. Because there are people outside of the way you look at yourself and they don't see you the way you do. And you need to be thankful for that, that they don't buy into your story about you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, don't believe everything you think.
That's true.
Don't believe everything you think. And don't come here unless you want to hear about how cool you are. You know, if you need to hear something else, I'm the wrong. There's plenty of churches you can go to on a Sunday and feel guilty. The innocent people, they don't have too many places to come, so I'm trying to be your father.
That is like the whole little crowd of people that want to hear the innocent.
Okay.
Woo.
Yeah, and just because I'm spiritual don't mean I don't appreciate money. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank Thank you for sharing. Thank you for supporting Unity Temple. Thank you for giving and receiving.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I did the minimum donation thing, so I could eat. And because I deserve it.
Yes.
You know, I think what I share is worth more than a tip that you give on a $10 meal. I do. And you're totally welcome regardless of your financial situation. But this isn't South Africa. You know what I'm saying? We have to give. We have to learn how to give to what we value and what we say we appreciate, you know? I had to learn that. I'm still learning that. You know? Because systematic giving equals systematic receiving. There's no point that I'm going to receive what I'm never giving or what I'm going to give later. You know, I had to, and so I'm telling you, I'm sustained by the love of God. You have a special gift. If you do your special gift, you'll be taken care of in the world. All that will be taken care of. You know, if you're struggling, you're not fulfilling your function. You're not bad. You're just doing the company line. You're doing the survival level, which is the lowest level of consciousness to live on. It's the level of that your whole life is around security. It's not bad. It's just the lowest, hardest level. It's not bad. It's just the lowest, hardest level. It's the security level that all you think about. It's like those little animals you see the nature shows, and all they care about is the next meal. If they get up in the morning trying to get their next meal, that's all they do. Are you on that level where that's all you think about is how you're going to make it, and everything you give is a strain? That's because you're looking at what's in your mind that you don't deserve. And right beside all those guilt thoughts, there's that other stuff that's really good, but you're not seeing it because that's not what you're focusing in on, because you haven't accepted the fact that you desire it and you can have it now. Now. So I'm asking the universe to help me be able to recognize the abundance and prosperity and success and love that I already have. I'm asking that all blocks be removed to me having the kind of life that is fulfilled and recognized and loved and supported in an infinite way. And I ask to be in reality that everybody that I know and love are also feeling their complete 100% divine fulfillment also. Because I couldn't really be conscious and just want it for myself. Because just wanting it for yourself is a sign of unconsciousness. You want to know an unconscious person, they just think about praying for themselves. It's just about what they want. It's just about their personal interest. So they all come together, but what they can get separately, and then separately leave. A conscious person is thinking in terms of union and relationship, and they know that everyone around them is a part of them, so therefore they would want every good thing to come to everyone if it comes to them, because then they know their entire being is being fed and taken care of. So how could I know you as part of me and not want your good, or not want you to have a safe night, but you're a part of me? So it's easy to tell who's... Don't say it's hard to know who's awake, or it's hard to know who's the right mate or the right friend. Today you were given all the guidelines you would ever need to know about what kind of people you need to draw to your life and the way you need to be from this moment forward. Now it's just a matter of motivation. It's just a matter of, are you motivated, or do you want to have the sales that's passing on the crap to the other sales? You know, do you want to stop that past?
Yeah.
I think you do. And so... Sunday,
One, two, three, four.
I am prepared. 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 I am prepared.
Now we're going to say it for everybody else. Wait a minute.
7 o'clock, and we're going to finish this section next Sunday at 1 o'clock.